This is Jennifer Rousey, research associate with the Julia Group, and today I am interviewing Dr. Anne Maria DeMars on the Tribal Leadership Institute, which is a program that offers ethics education on the reservation. Dr. DeMars, what do you consider to be the main ethical concerns in the modern workplace?
Dishonesty and meanness, I would say. I think these are the two biggest problems, and I think that both of them make headlines when they occur on a large scale. But by far the biggest, most insidious problems happen on a daily basis, and almost all of us are taking part. I think you are at fault.
Do you mean that we're all unethical?
Of course. And in a way, you, Jennifer, are just as responsible as Bernie Madoff for the failure of the economy.
Well, I don't think that I am, so do you want to explain that?
Dishonesty we see on a huge number of fronts, large and small. The larger ones make the news, the people like the Bernie Madoffs who just rip off millions of dollars by lying on their investments, the traders who falsify records and make banks fail. And I think those people certainly deserve to go to jail and not enough of them get caught and convicted. But what costs the most money in the workplace is on a smaller scale, the millions of people who spend hours at work talking on the phone to friends, surfing the internet, playing computer games, and everything else but working. And let me be clear, I'm not talking here about the mother who takes a phone call because she has a sick child at home, or the person who's been working for 4 hours and takes a break for 10 minutes to play solitaire. No, what I'm talking about are the millions of people who we end up paying twice as many people to do the job because these people who are only working half a day. These people, and you know who you are, cause poor services, they cost billions of dollars, because there's so many more of them than there are the investment bankers. Well, I think they know who they are.
Can you give any examples?
Well, for example, I came to a program as an evaluator. I'm in here for a site visit, and the first day I come in, every single member of the staff came in late, from half an hour late to an hour and a half late. Two of the people who came in close to on time, and about four others who also came in late, ran out for 2 hours at lunch to do their grocery shopping or to pick up school supplies for their children or just to have a long lunch. And I'm pretty certain, by the way they reeked when they came back, that a couple of them took a couple hours just to go out and smoke marijuana. Everyone left at closing time or sooner. Some of them left half an hour early. So on the average, this staff worked maybe 4 hours that day. And here's the real kicker of all this. They knew I was coming there to observe them that day. So you really have to wonder what their office is like on an average day.
Do you have any other examples?
Well, here's another one that happened thousands of miles away from the first one. I walk in, there's a staff of about 15 people. And I walk by the first person and he's sitting at his desk watching a movie on a computer. And the second person isn't there yet because he has a side job he works at and he doesn't come in until after 10 o'clock, even though the office opens at 8. The third person is sitting at his desk playing a computer game. And the fourth person I walk by is actually working, which by this point surprises me. The fifth person isn't there yet. Well, he was there, but he lives close, so he clocked in and went back home and didn't come back for another 4 hours. The sixth and seventh people are working. The eighth person is on Facebook and spends, from what I can see, the next couple of hours making her profile look really nice. And the ninth person is playing some other computer game. So what are we up to now? Nine people? And three of them are actually working. And it's really funny that the person watching the movies while getting paid to work made some snide comment about the one who'd gone home, that he was probably watching TV in his living room getting paid for it. And I really don't see how that differs very much than watching movies at your desk and getting paid for it.
Do you have any other examples?
Well, one last one I'll give you is an individual working for a small business. Now, we're all hearing these days that small business is the savior of the economy. And so I happened to drop by one day to visit this person's employer. And it's a typical small business. She was his only employee and a relative, as often happens on the reservation and in small businesses in general. And I have to say that I was absolutely astounded by the amount of what I saw as disrespect for her employer. I walk in, she's talking on the phone to a friend, and her employer asks her for a file of information we need for this meeting, And she says, just a minute, because she's on the phone. And when she gets off the phone, she said she didn't know where it was, but she would look. But before she can look, another friend calls. So she takes this phone call. And she talks to that friend while her employer and I are both standing there waiting. Then when this friend hangs up, she starts to look for the folder, and another person calls. When her employer starts to say something about this meeting, and we need this information, again, she says to him, just a minute, I'm on the phone. So in the space of 20 minutes, she'd made her employer and his visitor wait while she took three phone calls on her social life while we're just standing there. It was just astounding to me.
I can see how that's rude, but how exactly is that dishonesty?
Because, you see, she's getting paid for those 20 minutes to do work. And that's no different than people paying Bernie Madoff to invest their money, and he made no investments. She just took her employer's money and did nothing for him. I mean, how is her, you know, making an arrangement for her date that night something he should pay her to do? And if you put that down on your time card as work hours and you get paid for it, then that's lying and stealing. And the people doing this sort of thing aren't the only ones to blame. I mean, there's certainly enough blame for all this dishonesty to go around.
What do you mean? Who else would be to blame?
Well, there's this issue of dishonesty expanded. The people who supervise all of those I described, I mean, they must know what's going on. If I can see it just walking through the place when I come in for a site visit, you can't tell me that those managers haven't seen the same thing. You know, they can't not know that only a third of their people are working on an average day, yet they don't do anything. And sometimes it's because they're just as bad as their workers. They come in late, they leave early, they're working a second job too.
Do you ever say anything about it? It seems like if you observe it too and you don't say anything, then maybe you're to blame as well.
Well, sometimes I do. It depends on the situation. If I'm the evaluator, that goes into my report in a way. I don't write, well, Jessica came into work at 9:30 and she was supposed to be there at 9 o'clock. But I would write something along the lines that the project staff are expected to see 19 clients a day for direct services, and on the average, they're seeing 6, which is far short of the objectives, or something like that. If you could work 4 hours a day and still see 19 clients or whatever your objective is, then more power to you.
Does that ever happen where people work half the number of hours they're paid to and still do their job adequately?
No. In my experience, no. People fool themselves and say they do, but there are very few people I have met who are actually so amazing that they can do the work of the average person in half the time.
Just writing it up in a report seems pretty easy. You don't have to face the person. Do you ever confront people directly?
Sometimes. Again, as I said, I guess it has to do with if I think it's my place or not. I mean, I don't see myself as a lone ranger of ethics riding up in a big white horse and running up to everyone I see and shouting, hey, you're playing bingo on the internet. You're supposed to be working. Cut it out.
Do they have bingo on the internet?
Actually, I don't know the answer to that question. Maybe.
So when would you confront people directly?
If it's a friend, an employee of mine, or a coworker, I might. I was going to say I would, but having to be honest, giving it some thought, I'd have to say I don't always. I could give you one example. The person who was on the phone all the time, partly because the employer was a close personal friend of mine, and partly because that just struck me as so outrageous. I said something to the business owner to the effect of, is that normal? No wonder your employee can never find anything when I call asking for it. She's completely distracted with her social life 99% of the time. And he was a little bit embarrassed, and he said that it had just gradually gotten that way from her child calling when she got home from school to an increased number of phone calls until it was constant. And he felt himself getting annoyed, but he hadn't really put his finger on it because it had been such a gradual problem. Now, here we have somebody who was actually a good person and very competent, this employee, and the person she worked for, too, was willing to face a problem when he saw it. And so what he did was he put in writing what the issue was, what he expected, and told her to turn off her phone during working hours and give her child's school the office number in case of emergencies, and that was it.
So not everyone unethical or dishonest is evil, then?
No. In fact, I think quite the opposite. I think that's the rare exception. Most people, I think, fall more into the category like that cell phone addicted employee I talked about. they get into that pattern gradually. And there's also such a thing as a system that allows or fosters that kind of behavior. In one of his Tribal Leaders Institute courses, Dr. Eric Longy has a section called How to Ruin a Good Employee.
What's that about?
Well, without giving too much away, he talks about supervisors who don't have the courage and strength to enforce rules in the workplace. Even basic ones like, hello, do your work during work hours instead of watching movies. Don't sleep in until noon and come into the office after your lunch hour. When you have new employees that come into a situation like that and they see that nothing's done if you come in every day after 10 a.m. instead of coming in at 8 like you're supposed to, then they start coming in at 10 too.
So is the answer to be a micromanager?
Well, not really. That can backfire too. If you're standing there at 8:01 waiting to write people up for being late, you know, if you pay your workers the absolute minimum you can to get by, you're almost daring people to try to find a way to get back at you. And they will. I think the answer instead is for people to have self-honesty, to take a look at themselves and say, am I really putting in an 8-hour day for 8 hours pay? Or am I being dishonest and stealing? Am I being paid to do things that are not work at all and not benefiting anybody?